You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bage. Today, my guest is Irene Forte, founder of the eponymous beauty label Irene Forte Skincare. A native of Italy, Irene has focused on using natural ingredients from her family's organic farm in Sicily and small producers across Italy, including things like prickly pear, lemon, orange blossom, hibiscus, and pistachio. In just a few years since launch, which happened exclusively with Netta Porter, Irene Forte skincare products are carried by more than two dozen top retailers, including Liberty London and Nordstrom. Irene started her career working in the family business for her father at the luxury hospitality group Rocco Forte Hotels. After taking over the wellness portfolio for the brand's hotels, Irene oversaw the launch of an in-house line of beauty products before setting out on her own. Working closely with skincare expert Dr. Francesca Ferri on the formulations, the focus of Irene Forte Skincare is to incorporate natural ingredients with scientific proof. Here now is my conversation with Irene Forte.
So I never really thought that I was necessarily going to go into hospitality. But when I graduated, my dad convinced me to do a development program with the hotels. So with Rocco Forte Hotels at Brown's Hotel in London. And so I went through all the various departments and I did that for 6 months. And then I still wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I thought I was going to go into management consulting. And then dad kind of said, why don't you come in on a project basis and rewrite all of our brand standards and service standards? And I said, okay. And then 10 years later, I hadn't left. So I started really by working on the service side of things, having done the development program and going through the departments. I understood how kind of the operations worked. And I had a good degree so I could write. And so he thought that would be a good task. And then I started getting involved in all of the learning and development side of the business, so HR. And I kind of created a career and development app for the group that I got government funding for. And then because I was doing wellness for our people, no one was really looking after wellness for the guests. So I said, can I start looking after the spas and kind of create a unified thread across all of the spas? And my father kind of said, is it going to cost us any money? And I said, no. And so then I started looking after the spas, and I created a spa concept for the group, which I launched in 2014. And that kind of then got me into the skincare journey.
Super interesting. It sounds like your father maybe tricked you into joining the business a little bit. Do you think perhaps he saw some entrepreneurial spirit in you and was hoping that you would learn the ropes of running a business a little bit? Or was it that he liked having you around and he thought you could add something to that business?
So I have two other siblings and they work in the family business too. I think he really enjoys working with us and having us around, and kind of we're he can trust us because we're family ultimately. And I think he thinks we add value in some way as well. But yeah, he did kind of trick me. But I love the hospitality industry and I enjoyed it. I don't think I would have stayed if I hadn't enjoyed it.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let's talk about the skincare business. Where did you think you could add something different to what is a pretty busy market? You've got a beautiful product, but just talk to me about the idea for you. You said you were running the wellness business, so obviously you were thinking about these things, but why skincare and where did you start?
So it happened a little bit by chance, I would say, because within Rocco Forte Hotels, I was allowed to be quite entrepreneurial and I did lots of kind of mini businesses within the business. And when I was overseeing the spa offering, I actually just was looking for a brand that I could use across all the spas to unify our spa offering. And I wanted an Italian brand, as we're predominantly based in Italy and the company is very much has Italian spirit, let's say. And I wanted a brand that wasn't naive natural, but that was natural, that made sense, natural backed by science. And I struggled to find the right brand or a brand that covered all those different aspects. And so I had the crazy idea to launch a small line for the hotels, which was called Forte Organics. And it was just 9 products, which we did kind of signature Rocco Forte rituals across all the spas. And I created the line using ingredients at Verdura Resort, one of the properties resorts in Sicily, where there's an organic farm. And I found this amazing doctor who I still work with today, who's now my scientific director, to help me formulate. And so the 9 products launched. They were really positively received. But what happened is the spas started asking me for more products. They wanted more training. They wanted more marketing support. And I had promised Dad that I wasn't going to spend a lot of money when I started overseeing the spas. And I think Rocco Forte Hotels didn't really want to do a full-blown skincare line, understandably, because they're a hospitality company. So I kind of decided to try and do it on my own. So I was still doing learning and development for the group and still overseeing the spas. And on the side, I was working on my skincare brand, which took me 3 years to then launch. And I launched right at the end of 2018, so 2019 really properly.
Tell me about Dr. Ferry. You mentioned there, obviously, an important part of creating the product. Obviously, that development, as you say, it took a few years, but it's very uniquely Italian and right through the products that you use, the natural products. So talk to me about that development and your relationship there.
So Dr. Ferry is an incredible woman, a real artist, as a real creative. And she's been formulating for over 35 years. So she has a huge amount of experience and was one of the pioneers in using natural ingredients to treat certain skin conditions, so such as psoriasis and dermatitis. And she's always believed in creating products with an organic cosmetic matrix. She loved the idea of using my organic ingredients from Sicily because she's always used ingredients from the north of Italy, from the Trentino region where her lab is based. So she really likes the idea of using Italian ingredients and always has done. And she formulates in a way that makes sense. She's never followed marketing trends or decided to add extremely high percentages of ingredients just for marketing purposes or to combine a load of different ingredients just to have more active ingredients in the product for marketing purposes. So her kind of philosophy really lined up with mine, and we wanted to create clinically proven, so effective natural products that were also kind on the skin. So unlike a lot of natural brands, for instance, we don't use essential oils to fragrance our products, which are highly allergenic. Instead, we've created some lab formulated fragrance, which is allergen screened. And to prove that our products were then kind on the skin, having gone down this route, we then clinically approved all of our products on sensitive skin too. So yeah, just sensible formulations that make sense, that diffuse kind of the essence of Mediterranean wellness in a bottle, but that also work.
Mm. I've read it's meant to be like the Mediterranean diet in skincare, which is super interesting. You know, when people want to go down this avenue of creating something that's 100% natural, I've heard it in many different industries, not in, just in skincare, but you sort of push up against the industry that already exists and people that have been doing it for many, many years and want to force you sort of to change lanes a little bit. Was that difficult in wanting to stay 100% natural, as you say, and not use things like essential oils?
So we're not 100% natural, to be honest. We're between 98 and 100% because in some cases we do things like the lab formulated fragrance, which isn't categorized as natural in the market, so to speak. But the challenges were more about going against the grain of like what other natural brands have done. So like the natural brands, because essential oils are technically considered natural, but they're actually highly allergenic. And the concept that not everything in nature is actually skin kind or kind on the skin. Think of poison ivy, or there's lots of examples like that. So what I was really trying to push was natural, kind of improved by science and backed by science and extracted in certain ways to get the best benefits, really.
You mentioned the 9 products you started with when they were still under the hotel's label, we can say. What did you start with when you launched under your own name, and how was that received?
So I actually took a lot of the, well, I took 2 of the top-selling products from the Forte Organics range. I tweaked them a little bit, but those two stayed as my base. But I actually crazily launched with 26 products. I'm not going to list them all. But because I was launching for spas, I needed a big enough range to cater for all the spa requirements, because the brand really started as that. I didn't think I was going to get into retail, or that I was necessarily going to end up leaving Rocco Forte Hotels. It just kind of all happened really organically in the end.
And how has that changed? Obviously, there was interest from a number of retailers. Obviously, there's both digital and physical retail to please and to engage with these days. So how did that change, and how quickly did that change for you?
So quite quickly after launching, I got a global exclusive with Net-a-Porter, which was amazing. And that kind of showed me that I could probably get into retail with the products. But what really caused the shift for me was COVID, because the spas were my bread and butter business. They were the base of my business. And with the spas closing for over a year and a half, I had to kind of change my model. So I started focusing much more on digital, on my e-commerce, and invested in that side of things. And actually, I launched with over 30 retailers, I think, over the COVID period. So starting the big ones, probably Liberty in London, Luisa Via Roma in Italy, Nordstrom in the US. So also ones with a strong online presence. So that's kind of what caused the shift. And also it was during COVID that I decided to leave the family business and focus on the line.
And how was that received within the family?
So it wasn't something that happened overnight. Sorry, the way I described it was that I just decided to leave. I was courting an external investor for over a year. We were courting each other, let's say. And I think the external investment coming through, and it came through, you know, just as COVID was starting, convinced me that the business had legs and gave me the confidence, I think, to take that leap. And then it took a year, actually, of discussions with Rocco Forte Hotels and my father of how I would leave the business, or, you know, how that would be structured and things. So it wasn't something that happened overnight. Of course, it was an incredibly difficult decision, because I love the hotels. It is the topic of conversation amongst the family. My siblings work in the business. I spent school holidays working in the business. I'd been there for 10 years. But I think having a grandfather that was an incredibly successful entrepreneur, a father that's an incredibly successful entrepreneur, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur from a very young age. It was something I was always trying to find ways to sell things or create mini businesses as a kid. I was obsessed. So I think I'm very happy that I've managed to find a way to do that, and I'm loving what I'm doing, and I'm very lucky because I still have one foot in the door in the family business, because I still consult on all the spas. So I kind of get the best of both worlds.
And I can only imagine those spas perhaps stock your product now as well, which is nice.
Yes. It's a nice advantage.
What's been the most fun part of going off on your own and growing this company for you? You mentioned in your time, 10 years working with your family, that you did a little bit of everything. Obviously, the marketing side, you're a good writer, these things. So what's the best part of it for you? Is it in the product creation, or is it in selling it? Talk to us about that.
I mean, I think it's a bit of everything. I picked up a lot of tools and skills that from working at Rocco Forte Hotels, because I was allowed to be so entrepreneurial, and it's so fun being able to then apply that in my own business. So I always say that people come first in any business. And so building my team and really focusing on developing them and having just a great team with a different skill set around me, I take great joy out of that. And then also just being challenged every day is quite fun in a way. With a startup, things go wrong every day, and learning to be resilient and adapt, and it means, you know, no day's ever boring, is great. And then also just seeing the final product. And I think it's really important to celebrate whenever you do something well or you secure a big retailer or something, because I think sometimes we always think about what the next steps are and never actually celebrate what we've achieved. So, I mean, every aspect of the business is fun.
You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bage. The second part of my interview with Irene Forte is coming up in a moment.
Dubai Tourism is proud to partner with The Entrepreneurs on Monocle 24. Dubai is one of the most dynamic and innovative cities on the planet in which to do business, and a place where you can enjoy unrivaled quality of life. Dubai should be your destination, whether you're looking to start a new venture or take your career to the next level. Janice Rostock is an award-winning architect, urban designer and master planner who was the lead architect for the Dubai Opera, the contemporary concert hall that pays tribute to Dubai's maritime history. Rostock says the city is a celebration of diversity and heritage with an infectious excitement for the future.
The best part of living and working in Dubai is the fact that the work we're doing here is impacting the many. As a master planner and urban designer, you rarely get to see the projects you've designed being realized because it usually takes 20 to 30 years. Here, on the other hand, you've got projects that I've designed 5-10 years ago that are now starting to be completed. So it's literally like a lab. You draw a line and they build it outside the window. It's incredibly rewarding.
Architect and master planner Janice Rostock. Dubai, the future of business is here.
I'm curious about the links back to Italy and some of the producers that you might get to work with in creating these products. That must be rewarding for you as well.
Yeah, it's great because I sound like a very English person, but I'm 100% Italian. And so I always wanted to do something that connected me with my roots and promoted also the local Sicilian community in particular, because I went to work in Sicily 11 years ago at Verdura Resort on my year out from university. And I became very attached to the resort, to the place, the culture. And so I always wanted to do something with that. And I believe our business is very much focused on sustainability. I really built sustainability into the DNA of my business. And community is an incredibly important pillar. So we work with a lot of Sicilian artisans to do different aspects of the packaging or different display things. So we work with a ceramicist who does all hand-painted ceramics for displays in our retail stores. We work with a carpenter who does our olive wood spatulas for all of our products. We work with a bell maker who does the bells to start and end all of our treatments. We have an artist that's painted all the liners of our boxes and the paintings of our organic farm. So, and then again, a lot of local farmers where ingredients can't come from our organic farm in Sicily. We source from elsewhere in Sicily and elsewhere in Italy. So, like, we work with these winemakers in Sicily who produce the white wine for some of our products. Yes, we have white wine in our products. It's great antioxidant.
Sounds very Italian.
Lots of our water sourced from the Madonia Regional Natural Park in the north of Italy. So yeah, it's really rewarding working with a lot of these smaller suppliers. Yeah, I love it.
People really these days, especially when we're talking about sustainability and natural product, want to know the stories and want a bit of that transparency. I imagine telling those stories gives you an endless amount of content and conversations to start because you're working with these incredible people.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And consumer consciousness is definitely growing. And, you know, we're getting asked, it's not just about the ingredients anymore, the formulations, it's about the packaging and then just kind of our ethical approach more generally. And yeah, well, with the makers, we have a Meet the Makers blog post where we talk about all of our makers. And yeah, we have a lot of content around packaging and all the different things we do for sustainability.
You talked about some of the challenges, some of which are interesting and get you out of bed in the morning because they're fun to work through. I'm curious about the things that are a little bit more difficult, and you will have had some experience in coming out of the hotel world, but for a female founder, there's obviously people that talk all the time about the difficulties in getting funding or people taking you seriously. I wonder if that has been a tricky thing, a difficult thing for you to work through in the first few years of this business.
Yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly lucky because I've been incredibly privileged. I went to a great university, which automatically kind of puts a stamp on your CV, and which helps open doors. Obviously, having the family that I have also helps open doors. So I'm very lucky. More I get judged for having a skincare line as a woman because people roll their eyes at me. Oh yeah, she's got a little skincare line. How nice, kind of thing. But I think it's important to always be resilient and to help other women as well, and to surround yourself with the right mentors. With funding, I have an amazing investor who believed in me, and it's one person. So that's been incredible. So yeah.
Do you feel there's an atmosphere that you can have that dialogue these days about running your own business where there's people facing similar challenges or are curious in the challenges that you might face, either in wanting to learn from you or to work in a mentor role as well? Is there a good dialogue these days for that?
Yeah, I think there is a good dialogue, and much more than in the past. And I think a lot of female entrepreneurs and founders are supporting each other and working together more closely. I talked about like Kim I and doing, and there's a group of us that are chatting all the time and meeting a group of female founders. And I think much more open to also mentoring others and getting involved in different ways to support other women. Yeah.
You talked about obviously the shift during the pandemic and COVID and the way that you were being sold and the retailers that you're working with. I'm curious what you're working on these days and how that may have changed trajectory of what you thought the business would be or the stage that you thought you would be at this point. How's that going, and what might we see from you next? Are you enjoying that sort of mix of retailers you're working with, or how do you want to grow it in that sense?
Yeah, so I guess the pandemic helped me refocus the business, as I already mentioned. But I was traveling almost twice a week for the hotels pre-pandemic. So I didn't actually have that much time to strategize. I was going along with the flow a little bit. So we've been working on a lot of different things. We're about to launch new packaging. It's even more sustainable. I always say sustainability is a journey, and you can constantly improve. So we're launching refillables. All of our packaging is already produced in Italy. It's made out of 100% recycled fiber papers and glass bottles. We are launching 6 new products in the next 12 months. Well, we've just launched 2. So our essentials kit and our triple level hyaluronic serum. And then we've got 4 more coming out, 2 next month, olive eye cream, aloe face cream, and then some really interesting products next year around phytomelatonin, which is a proprietary ingredient that Dr. Ferry discovered. So we're excited about that. We invested heavily in clinical trials and focusing much more on doing clinical trials. They're incredibly expensive for a small brand like mine. So I really took the leap on that because I thought it was incredibly important to bring out the science of the brand and to be recognized as the natural science brand. And so we have amazing clinical trial results on our myoxenol products, which is an ingredient that we trademarked. Hibiscus serum, hibiscus night cream, and prickly pear face cream are all clinically proven to visibly reduce forehead wrinkles. We did a lot of hydration trials, so pistachio face mask, which was one of our top sellers. And what else are we doing? We're constantly trying to improve in terms of sustainability. We just did our B Corp submission, so hoping to be B Corp certified soon. And then just like focusing on growing in our key markets, so US, UK and Italy. US, we just launched recently with Nordstrom, but we're launching with Bergdorf Goodman, Amazon luxury stores. So we've got quite a lot going there and a few niche retailers. And then UK and Italy has been more natural, I guess, for me, and easier, but continuing to grow there as well.
Very interesting. And so much going on. It's absolutely amazing. You mentioned the trials, the clinical trials, and why that is so important to you. There are many, many brands that talk about their sustainability and the products being free of X, Y, or Z. Why is that so important to have that stamp? And how do you think that will help the brand grow? You talked about the expense of that, but for you, why is that important?
Well, I think the natural market has changed. I mean, when I launched the brand, it was all about natural was new and everyone wanted natural. But now, already 2.5 years later, people want products that work. And there are a lot of brands out there that are clean and work. So it's not good enough anymore, I think, to be a natural brand that doesn't work. And so that's why I wanted to really highlight that we work. And, you know, we've got an amazing doctor behind the brand. And so the brand's backed by 35 years of research. So I knew that they worked, but I needed to be able to show our consumers that they worked.
Well, I'll have to check on my forehead wrinkles in the weeks ahead as I try some stuff out. I saw the Essentials Kit, which looks absolutely beautiful. The product didn't last very long on my desk with curious colleagues, but it looks absolutely incredible. Just lastly, talk to me about how rewarding this whole journey has been. Obviously challenging. The whole COVID period has been difficult for many, many businesses. But how has this been for you to break out on your own and find that success, even if just a few years into this company? Are you where you expected to be, and what might we see next?
If I think back to 2.5 years ago, I would have never imagined that I'd be where I am today. So that's incredibly rewarding, and it's really exciting. It's really exciting to build my own thing, to build something I believe in and that I'm passionate about. And I think the most, I've already kind of mentioned, but the most rewarding thing is building my team. I've got a very young team, but they're so enthusiastic, and I can see also how much they're getting out of it as well, which makes it that much rewarding. In terms of what's next, I just really want to build a dominant market brand that's recognized for being the natural science brand, an anti-aging natural brand that works, a brand that really has sustainability at its core and that's distinguished for having highly ethical standards. I would say that I'm also really keen on building my own store presence. So that's kind of going to be the next, or a focus over the next few years in our key markets. So in Italy, US and UK. And I'm also kind of delving into men's skincare because I want to be recognized. I mean, the brand is already unisex, but I want to be recognized as a brand for both men and women, because I think the men's skincare market is quite underserved, and I think there's an opportunity because men need to look after their skin too. So we're kind of dipping a toe into that too.
How big an opportunity do you think that is? I mean, I ask selfishly on behalf of men, of course, but for years, I think a lot of people were stealing products from their partners, their female partners, or buying products that were clearly targeted to women in shops. So how exciting is that? And how big an opportunity do you think that can be for you?
I think it could be quite a big opportunity because there are very few luxury brands or brands in my category that are marketing to men. So there's a bit more mass that market to men, but not so many in my category. So it's an interesting one. It's a bit of a risk, but you have to take risks and have to try lots of different things before one will work. We're going quite simple. We're launching 3 products to start with. So quite a simple routine. There's a serum, an eye cream, and a face cream. Eye cream, I've discovered from research that men are really into eye cream. So that is why we're going for an eye cream. Let's see. I don't know. I can't be too optimistic yet, but I think it could work. I think that from the research we've done, there's definitely some opportunity there.
Very well said. I'll send you some detailed feedback that may count for anything, but we'll have to check in and see how you're doing a little bit down the road. But until then, Irene, thank you so much for your time. This has been really interesting.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Irene Forte there. You can learn more at IreneForteSkincare.com. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to Jack Jewers and Chris Ablakwa, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.